Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, beautiful Thursday morning out there. Welcome to it. Schlereth and Evans. Got the whole crew here. DeHuff, Millennial Ben. As we roll into our second hour, and we just had James Marilat on, and James was explaining why he calls Vic Fangio Teflon Vic, saying that Vic seems to be immune from criticism here. Well, maybe that was the case in his first year. And you know what? Normally there is a bit of a honeymoon period for the coach in his first year, but I completely disagree with James on the idea that Vic is immune from criticism. And I'll use as a starting point what John Elway had to say the other day about his expectations for the season.
I think when you look on the defensive side, you know, for the most part, with the players that the veterans that we've added to the defensive side, you know, and I think with the veterans that have been here with another year of Vic's understanding Vic's defense, what it's about, you know, obviously we're going to have to lean on the defense, and hopefully we can come out because we do have veterans on the defensive side that we can, you know, rely on them as we grow as an offense. And so, you know, that's the hope. You know, I'd love to see us come out and score, you know, 40 points against Tennessee on Monday night. But, that, you know, I'm not saying that can't happen, but obviously with the youth that we do have, it's going to take some time. And hopefully we can play better defense with the veterans we have coming in and give us a chance. But ultimately, Mark, it is to win football games.
Yeah, and the pressure is on this defense, and the pressure is on Vic Fangio. John Elway didn't bring in Vic Fangio strictly because he believes that, you know, he's going to be a great, great CEO, delegator, head coach. He's here in large part because of his defensive so-called genius, his reputation as a defensive guy. And when you hear John saying, on one hand, I expect the offense to struggle early on to go through growing pains. But on the other hand, he's saying, I still expect to win early on. He's putting all the onus on this defense. And I said this a couple months ago and people thought I was crazy, but in light of what has happened around here and how the preseason's going to be impacting the offense so much, and what John just said about this defense, Vic Fangio's on the hot seat. I said a couple months ago that if the Broncos missed the playoffs, I think Vic Fangio could lose his job. And people are like, no, no. Really? Do people still feel that same way after what you've heard? This John Elway is all about winning now. John Elway has talked about, you know, the playoffs being in play this year. John Elway has talked about how we've bounced off the bottom. We're going back up now. Those aren't the comments of a guy who would be okay with his team going 8-8, 7-9 and missing the playoffs. And especially now that circumstances have made this defense, Vic's defense, so crucial. Come on, listen to his comments. He's clearly turning up and expecting a lot out of Vic Fangio. And if Vic doesn't deliver, and this defense doesn't deliver, and the Broncos go 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, and miss the playoffs, come on. We've been around here long enough. We've seen how John has handled his coaches, how he's moved through coaches, how he's scapegoated coaches, how no coach can feel secure. Why should Vic be coated in Teflon?
I don't think he is. You know, when you said that a month or two ago, I was like, come on, stop it.
Right. I know.
I still feel to a degree, I still feel that Vic isn't going to lose his job, even if they go 6-10, 7-9.
But you don't feel as strongly now about it, do you?
I don't feel as strongly about it, but that's just because philosophically, you know, I have a couple of differences of opinion than they do over there of how you run things. You know, that's just me. But you know, the bottom line with Vic Fangio is I think he did get a bit of a hall pass simply because new coach, first time coach, defensive coordinator, you know, I mean, a myriad of different things. Not up in the booth, on the sidelines, still calling the defense, all these different things. I think all those kind of that honeymoon period and the fact that he just came off of Vance Joseph, like, I think all those things basically did coat him to a degree in a bit of Teflon. I just don't think you have that anymore. But I think this organization, from an organizational standpoint, like, can you take the heat or the criticism? If you're John Elway and if you're this organization with the ownership questions, with all the other questions, can you take the heat of firing another coach after 2 years? I don't know that you can do that.
I don't think John's in this for the long haul. So what does he got to lose? I mean, he's said before, hey, when it comes to the quarterback position, I'll keep swinging.
Right.
I'm not gonna get scared. I'm gonna keep swinging. Why can't that be with head coaches?
I just think you've got a. I think that's a real. I mean, it's a real red flag. I mean, the fact that you've been through five coordinators on the offensive side of the ball in the last four seasons is a huge red flag.
But this is a situation where it is set up for Vic Fangio to have to deliver. It is year two.
Mm-hmm.
You got a veteran defense. You've made some nice additions. No defense in the entire NFL has as much money tied up into it as the Broncos do.
Right.
And you got your boss saying, hey, I expect my young quarterback and my young offense to struggle early on. It's going to be up to the defense to really ball out. How much more clear can it be? The expectations, the demands.
Right.
And you better deliver. And if you don't deliver, there are going to be consequences.
I just don't know. I really don't think.
Will you at least give me this?
Okay.
If they don't make the playoffs, what has been the one consistent with all 4 years that they've missed the playoffs? Somebody has paid for it, right? Whether it be a coordinator or a coach, somebody is paid. So why would this year be any different?
Well, now,
and who would? And if it's not Vic, who would it be? You're not going to blame Pat Shurmur. You've all but given Pat Shurmur a free pass on the beginning of the season. So who's it going to be? Vic Fangio. And it's not just head coach Vic Fangio. It's defensive genius Vic Fangio that has been given this this demand, this ultimatum, this charge, whatever you want to call it. And if he doesn't deliver?
I think there is a built-in excuse. A couple of built-in excuses that save him. Youth and no off-season program. Coronavirus. Because I think you can make a pretty compelling argument that what they did in the draft, from a talent standpoint, they did increase the talent. We shall see what the 2018 draft actually becomes. We'll see a little bit, we'll get a little bit better window into what the 2019 draft is. And, you know, you'll look at it and go, hey man, 2020, based on all the things that were out of our control, there's not a whole lot we could have done. But 2021, we are ready. We are ready to strike. And I think there's a built-in scapegoat where I think this is the year where even if you are under 500 or 500 or under, this is a year that nobody gets fired because of that.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I disagree with that. I'll tell you why coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Well, the early key is going to be they've all had the virtual offseason. I think they all can pass a bunch of written tests that we could give them right now on their assignments and responsibilities and their techniques. It will be interesting to see after a week of on the field work, you know, how much of that is translated to the field. I think they've all done everything they can up to this point. But, you know, taking it from the classroom to the field is the next step. And once we see that after a few practices, we'll be able to better answer that. They're young men, and they have urges.
Vic Fangio, year number two. What are the expectations for Vic as a head coach, as a defensive mastermind? Is he on the hot seat in any way? Or is he, as James Marilat likes to call him, Teflon Vic? Some reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. This one, I love Vic's coaching style. We've had enough of patting players on the back with Vance. Vaughn needs to be held to a higher standard, and Brandon McManus needs to shut up and make the kick when he's asked. Another one. Brandon acted... Hold on. I hate it when it refreshes like that. McManus acted like a turd on the sideline. You never show up your coach. And what Vic said was true. Vaughn, the last couple of years, has been doing things like Dancing with the Stars, and maybe his focus has been off. I'm tired of us just blaming coaches instead of the players. But you are somebody that absolutely subscribes to the idea that there's been too much blaming of the coaches around here the last 4 years, and not enough when it comes to the personnel moves. But even you believe there are some things that you can't say publicly when it comes to play. See, I like it. I like it. When Brian Shaw, not that guy that pours gasoline out of the bullpen, but the guy that was coaching the Nuggets, I mean, the guy was brutally honest.
Right.
Brutally honest. And his players revolted against him. Of course, my reaction was, well, you're a lousy basketball team. If you can't handle the truth, that says more about you as players than it does about the coach who's only telling the truth. But I guess there's only so far you can go when it comes to telling the truth?
I think there are some rules, Mike, that you need to adhere to. I think there are certain things that you can say behind closed doors. I think there are times where you can lay a player out in front of the rest of the team. But there are things that you don't say in public, ever. And when you cross that line, it's you lose the respect of players.
If you're telling the truth?
Yes, especially if you're telling the truth.
Why?
Because the truth hurts. Hey, man, I can handle getting chewed out in front of my team, but you don't splay me out to the media that doesn't know what they're looking at anyhow. And never. That is...
So you tell the truth behind closed doors, but you don't tell the truth outside of closed doors.
So,
I don't get that.
That's the way it is because you have to protect your players to a degree. Listen, I told you this, like, we had a texter that came on and said, you know, a quarterback has to take, or a coach has to take, or a leader has to, maybe it was James Marilat, you know, 100% of the blame, I think it was James, 100% of the blame when things don't go his way. And deflect 100% of, you know, of the accolades and the praise when things go the team's way. Like, this is quarterback 101. You want to be a great quarterback. You want to be a great leader. When something goes your way, you need to absolutely deflect it and heap the praise on all the players on your offense and all the other players. And then when things don't go your way, even if it's not your fault, you don't ever come out and say, well, that interception wasn't my fault because the receiver, you know, got gator arms across the middle, or this receiver ran the wrong route. You want to be Jeff George and lose the respect of your teammates instantly? So I was mentoring a young quarterback, asked me to, He asked me to. And he comes out after a preseason game where he got sacked 5 or 6 times and says, well, we've just got to be better on the offensive side of the ball. We've got to do a better job in protection. And I called him and I just laid him out. I was like, what the hell are you doing? I go, you wonder why nobody likes you on your team? You wonder why nobody likes you? Dude, 5 of the 6 sacks were your fault because you don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't take the proper drop. You don't know where the blitz is coming from. You don't know what the protection scheme is. I mean, I'm no genius, but I can figure that out. And I go, if you think that your guys are going to battle for you, you're sadly mistaken. They don't like you because of comments like that.
But that's deflecting blame from yourself. If all you're doing as a coach is just pointing out what is obvious to everybody, like, why is it that, okay, I can call you out behind closed doors.
Right.
And I can be brutally honest with you. And if anything, you as a player will say, you know what? I appreciate coach for letting me know where I stand.
Right.
Right? It's all good. But if the coach says that same thing to the media, if him being honest to me behind closed doors puts me on notice,
right,
and will probably get me to perform at a higher level, what's wrong with, in this case, Broncos country, knowing that I have to be better? Boy, that talk about really lighting a fire under my butt. I got my coach saying it to me, and now I know the entire fan base that I'm playing in front of knows that I can be better and need to play with more effort.
All right, I
would think that I would come out the next game breathing fire.
So let me ask you this, okay? Your son isn't taking baseball seriously or isn't taking his work seriously, isn't taking the craft seriously, and you get frustrated, right? And you are in the garage and you lay him out, right? And your wife talks to you about that and says you're pretty hard on him, and you're like, I understand that I'm hard on him, but he has got to learn how to work. He has got, this is going to be paid dividends for the rest of his life. He's got to, and she says, okay, I understand that. Then you walk into the little league game in front of all the other parents. You say, let me tell you about my piece of crap son and what he's been doing. How is your wife going to react to that? Because you're ultimately, as a football team,
about a 13-year-old who's playing the game for fun versus a professional.
Let's say your kid is an adult.
Yeah.
And your kid is having some issues, right? And you want to keep those issues fairly private, and you want to help your son or your daughter work through those issues and become a better citizen. You're going to give them all the help they can have because you're a family. But if you go out as the town crier and let everybody in the neighborhood know the issues that your kid is having, your wife is going to be livid with you. Ultimately, what it is, Mike, and this may sound stupid, but it's a family. You have got to have that. And so behind closed doors, man, we can have our dirty laundry and we can work to fix that dirty laundry, but we damn well better not let everybody else in on our dirty little secret. It just is the way a locker room works, right? Maybe you don't think it's right, but it's the way it works.
Kudos to JP. I think he figured out this quarterback that you were mentoring.
Who's that?
Stank, clearly this whole thing is your fault. You mentored Paxton Lynch. You didn't do a good job. I knew you were connected to this somehow. This explains the smear campaign. It's your way of getting back at him.
JP.
I should have seen it. How could I have not seen this?
No, it wasn't. That was not the quarterback.
That
was not the quarterback. No. I don't know that I ever talked to Paxton Lynch.
Well, be that as it may.
He was never on our show, was he?
No. Be that as it may, smear campaign day number 2032. Four down territory is coming up next. More NFL opt-outs and another hit for the Chiefs. That's next.
I want Mason Glory help.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. Versus down.
You know, Jarrell brings a heck of a lot of, experience. We think that he can rush the pass. We think he's still got a lot left and think that he can really come in and provide a lot of leadership and pass rush inside. So I'm excited to watch Jarrell play as well as Bouye, that, a corner, to solidify the corner position for us and watch him play. I think he'll come in and really be able to help us.
Love the acquisitions of A.J. Bouye and Jarrell Casey just because he gave up draft picks that more than likely would have been busts considering the 50-50 crapshoot nature of the draft.
Well, so, not only that, considering the fact that none of them get to play and they're late-round picks, right?
Exactly.
I mean, in this year, what a great move.
So, two outstanding moves. Which one will make the bigger impact this year, Jarrell Casey or A.J. Bouye?
I'm going to go Jarrell Casey. I think a couple of things. I mean, he's been to, I think, five straight Pro Bowls, up and down the line of scrimmage, great run defender. I think he's a fairly average pass rusher. Like, he'll get his five a year because, people will run into him. I don't think he's great, but I think he's good. I don't think he's a great pass rusher. I think he's a phenomenal run defender. And then to have somebody like that next to Von Miller on the side, I think that's a... I think that's a big bonus. That's a big plus. So I think it's going to be Jarrell Casey making the bigger impact for the Broncos this year.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
I think it's very important to be balanced on offense. Balance doesn't just mean your run-pass ratio. It means the balance of what kind of runs you have, the variety. It also means the balance and the variety of the types of passes you have, short, deep, intermediate, screens, etc. And I think we're headed in the right direction there.
Hey, no disrespect to Vic. I don't want to hear about balance this year. All I've been sold on this whole offseason is the promise of Drew Lock, the promise of Pat Shurmur's offense about how he likes to go downfield with the ball, and then the subsequent additions through the draft of all this speed, all these weapons that seem to fit perfectly with the whole Drew Lock, Pat Shurmur narrative. I don't want to hear about balance. Do you? Oh, wait a minute. Who am I talking to?
Mr. Let's Run It 40 Times a Game.
I would love to run it 40 times a game. If you run it 40 times a game, that means you get the lead. What's wrong with that, Mike? Hey, I believe you need balance. Hey, listen, we're not.
How about this? How about you throw to get the lead? You run to put away the win.
No.
I think
Vic is telling you we've got some deficiencies with youth and with question marks on the O line, and we're going to have to be balanced. How about that?
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Well, the opt out option is a player's choice. That's absolutely 100% their right inherently. So, got no objection to that at all, and be supportive of that if that's what somebody wants to do.
There's Joe Ellis, the de facto owner of the Denver Broncos. Mark, how much do you get the sense that the, or do you get the sense that the uncertainty and certainly the fight that is coming down the road, it's been quiet for a while, but don't be fooled. There is still a major brouhaha going to go on when it comes to future ownership of the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's having any real impact on the way business is being done right now?
I don't think it is. I mean, I think it's business as usual for them. But it's got to be hanging over your shoulder a little bit, right? It's like they always talk about that we don't want a quarterback controversy, so we don't want somebody with a lot of experience where you feel like that dude's just hanging over your shoulder about to take your job. It's got to mentally affect you. You still have to do what you think is in the best interest of the team, but.
Boy, that's interesting. You got me thinking about this a whole different way. Because what's the old saying? If you have two quarterbacks, you have none?
Yeah.
If you have two warring bowling factions, do you really have an owner?
Well, you call
them... Do you really have a future owner?
You call them the de facto
owner. No, Joe is right now.
Right, yeah.
But I'm saying if you have two battling bowling factions arguing over control of the team, do you really have a future owner?
Yeah, but they're not from the Bolin family.
Uh-huh.
Because if you can't get some type of an agreement, some type of settlement between the warring parties, if you will, the litigating parties, if you can't, then eventually the team is going to have to be sold to somebody who's not a Bolin.
I still think the ultimate answer is somebody else.
I do too. I think that's the direction it's going.
Next in fourth down territory.
Fourth down.
Williams, the running back, to the left of Mahomes. Now they bring Tyreek Hill in motion with it. They fake to him. Throw right side. Caught by Williams at the right pylon. Touchdown, Kansas City. Andy Reid dials up a brilliant play.
Chiefs radio. Not included in that highlight was the outstanding block made by the sausage.
Sausage made a great sausage block.
It's time to get greasy.
Who's the sausage again on the Chiefs? Who's that guy? Who's their fullback?
The sausage.
Oh, that is,
is it Sherman?
Yeah, Sherman.
Sausage. Anyway, running back Damian Williams, the latest Chief to opt out. And Damian Williams had a really good season and a very good playoff run. But they went on and drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Right.
The highly touted running back out of LSU. So is the Williams loss really a big deal at all?
Mike, they run the ball 12 times a game.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he's opting out of 8 carries. He's like, I don't know that I can handle a season with 8 carries a game.
That's a good point
for you, bud.
You know what? Do you realize how many times he ran the ball during the season?
He was better in the playoffs, but yeah. I would say he averaged about 8 carries a game.
Yeah, 111 carries over 10 carries. 11 games, 111 carries.
10 carries a game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And he was their best running back.
Yeah. They don't want to. I mean, we went through and watched all their losses. They don't want to run the ball. Andy Reid is waiting for a shootout. He's hoping. Like, this is, like, everybody goes, oh, we need speed. If we're going to compete with the Kansas City Chiefs, we need speed. We need to match them score for score. That's what they want you to do. They want you to try to match them score for score because they don't want to run the ball. You're playing right into their hands, Mike.
Well, don't just completely blow off his not being on the team. Last year, during the playoffs, he had 57 touches. 46 mm-hmm. carries and 11 catches.
Yeah, no.
20 targets. So he was very involved in that offense.
He was huge at the end of that game for that, for the win for the Kansas City Chiefs to get off their September darling schneid and win a Super Bowl. Huge.
He had 6 touchdowns during that playoff run.
Thank you, Benny.
God, I missed that.
Yeah.
There was just 1 year ago.
I know.
1 year ago, we were able to talk about
how the
September Darlings.
Yeah. How they were so great, but they just were going to fold during the playoffs. And it looked like it was going to happen again when they were down 20, whatever.
I know. I was laughing.
I had this song playing in the background.
I was like, oh, Monday's going to be so much fun.
I was like, Alexa, play September by, who is it, by Earth, Wind & Fire?
You know, Is It Just Me is coming up tomorrow, but here's an early Is It Just Me.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or should we have known the moment the Chiefs won the Super Bowl that 2020 was just going to be a bleep show?
It's good. Yeah, that's a great point.
Right?
That is a great point. We should have battened down the hatches right after. Like,
exactly.
I should have flown home that next morning and boarded up our windows.
Yep.
My wife would be like, what are you doing? And I go, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Get ready.
Right. Like, the day I got back from Miami, I should have walked in the house and my wife would have been like, why'd you buy like all these rolls of toilet paper? I'm like, just a feeling.
Just got a feeling. Gut feeling.
Just a feeling.
It's a sign.
It's a sign.
Armageddon.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sign, baby. All right. Lot to react to. We'll get to your hot text coming up next. Apparently, during that last segment when you said about September Darlings and you said, Alexa, play September, apparently some people listening, you made their radio station turn.
Really?
By saying that.
I am so powerful. It's incredible.
Mark, you just made my Alexa play September, and I lost the radio station for a bit.
And that's power. That is power. My youngest granddaughter always runs up to the Alexa in our kitchen. She calls it Alexup.
Alexup?
Alexup.
Does Alexa listen to commands for Alexa?
Yeah, Alexa actually listens when you call her Alexa.
Hmm.
Remember. This is great, man.
So much more fun when we were able to make fun of the Chiefs.
I know. Everything was just felt right in the world.
I know.
When they won the Super Bowl, that's when the world just fell apart.
Yep. Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah, I don't either.
Who knew?
Yeah.
What was in store for us after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl? Whew.
I hope you're happy, Chiefs.
Yeah.
I hope you're happy.
I hope it was all worth it, Chief fan.
Right.
You got your Super Bowl, but you ruined America.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of yourself? Oh, by the way, you owe me an apology now.
I do?
Yeah.
How so?
So, for the last couple of years, you've been insisting that Aaron Donald is the best football player in the NFL.
And I continue to say no.
It's a quarterback-driven league. It's a quarterback-obsessed league. There is no more important position, so much so now that teams... You want to know why we have so many quarterbacks who are drafted in the first round? Because teams can't help themselves. The herd panic mentality is so widespread that teams can't help themselves and they end up reaching for quarterbacks in the first round. But it speaks to the desperation that teams have in trying to find a quarterback. So clearly the quarterback, if you have him, he's more valuable than anybody else. And the NFL Network Top 100, the top two players, number one, Lamar Jackson, number two, Russell Wilson, number three, Aaron Donald. Boom. Feel free to apologize.
There will be no apologies. What was Aaron Donald last year in that ranking? Number one.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years, which
means smart people are finally listening to me.
No, it means you've influenced the idiots. Hey,
isn't the NFL Top 100 voted on by players?
Yes, idiot players.
Oh, idiot players.
Yeah,
okay.
Idiot players.
They're idiots. Okay.
No, here's the deal, Mike. You know that I look at quarterbacks like they're not football players. They're quarterbacks. There's a different. Now, Lamar Jackson, I'll give that to you, because that dude is the best runner in football. I mean, he's incredible. Like, he's an incredible mismatch for every team with the style of offense that they run. Till, of course, they have to play a legitimate playoff contending team, and then they get trounced when he all of a sudden has to throw them into a game, right? That's not his forte, but he's an incredible athlete. He is, like, of all the quarterbacks, he is a football player. Like, that dude is a football player that plays quarterback. So, but I think all the quarterbacks should be out of this list. I think they should all be in their own list. It's just different to me.
By the way, what do you make of Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson being ranked ahead of Patrick Mahomes?
We got a Jackson 5!
I would say that's the football player. You're looking at football players as opposed to quarterbacks. If you put a quarterback list, where would that list get ranked? Like if it was not a football player, this is why I have a real issue putting the quarterbacks in a football player list. Like if it was a quarterbacking list, where would Lamar Jackson be number one? No. Absolutely not.
Do you think this is, I disagree with your, they're just looking at it from a quarterback that looks like a football player or plays like a football player. I think it's more maybe a testament to the idea of who's most valuable to their team. Like, where would Seattle be without Russell Wilson?
Sure.
Where would the Ravens be without Lamar Jackson? And are they implying that yeah, Patrick Mahomes is great, but hey, look at the cast around him. Look at the head coach. Look at the system. All that stuff. I don't know. It's just, I thought that was kind of interesting. Is it, for all this talk about Mahomes being, you know, the next great big thing, are the players sending a bit of a message saying, whoa, 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 you know, he's great. Don't get us wrong, but not just Mahomes. And that Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson are actually more valuable to their teams.
Well, it's hard to, I mean, it's hard to think about, let's talk about value then. When Baltimore gets down by 14 to the Chargers or to whoever in the playoffs, how good is that guy at bringing his team back? He's not very good.
Right. Versus
Mahomes is down by 24, no big deal.
Right.
Well, all we need is one score, guys, and we got him where we want him.
Right.
So, again, this whole NFL Network top 100, let's ask a bunch of players who don't actually play, or let's ask players that have a, like, they want their guys to be rated higher. You know, when you get the chance to vote, so I just don't think that most players who are asked to participate in this, one, are taking it seriously, or two, they're trying to get their players as high as they can get their players. I just think it's, you know, I think we put a lot into these lists at times, and yeah. I think it's
a lot.
I mean,
we've enjoyed our lists over the last several months. We've relied on our lists.
Yeah.
We've ridden those lists, but this one, come on, any list that has Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson ahead of Patrick Mahomes, come on, the man's the boogeyman. Oh, that's right.
Oh my God.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena.
Don't turn that down.
Phenomena.
This is.
Take it easy on that sing off.
This is fun. But you know, when they were September's darling,
I know.
It was better.
It was better. It was better.
We weren't getting beat over the head with viruses and.
Yeah. Murder hornets.
Yeah. Murder hornets dissipated quickly.
They did go away pretty quickly, yeah. Oh, by the way, guess whose birthday?
Someone's going to get bit.
Guess whose birthday it is today?
Who is that?
Celebrating his 73rd birthday. Arnold.
Oh. Arnold
Schwarzenegger, 73 today.
Look at the shoulders. He's a monster.
Oh, good old Arnold.
You got to tell the story. Just, it's been a little while.
My Arnold?
There's the two good Arnold stories. There's the DC one, and then there's the Alaska one.
Well, it starts with, I mean, you got to start at the beginning. Right?
Yes. Like every good story.
Right. You got to start at the beginning.
Just go back to the Shire.
So,
start at the beginning.
Right, exactly. So, I'm a young player for the Washington Redskins, asked to be a part of the presidential fitness campaign, you know, at the White House, and going to go and roll Easter eggs or whatever the hell we were doing. I don't even remember what we were doing. But, you know, we were doing something at the White House. And then that night we were getting on a bus and heading a bunch of us that played for the Washington Football Club. We're getting on a bus and heading to Sergeant and Eunice Shriver's house for a big party. So, you know, I'm at this presidential fitness campaign. I can't get within 30 feet of Arnold. We're down in the grass and he's up like on the balcony or whatever with the president. And so anyhow, so we go to this party and it's just this ginormous tent. There's hundreds of people at this event. And I keep like leaving my wife at the table, go, oh, there's Arnold over there. I want to go introduce myself, right? Come on, Commando and the Terminator and all those movies at the time, Conan. You know, I was like, I got to go meet Arnold, right? And I'm sifting through the crowd and I'm kind of dodging and weaving as best you can at 295. And, you know, and every time I got within 10 feet of Arnold, man, he's just out, like gone. Whoop, history. I'm like, damn, this guy is slippery, right? So finally I'm sitting at the end of the night and I'm just dejected, just down, daubers down,
dauber down,
lips hanging down.
Yep.
And here comes Arnold's wife to talk to you know who, me. Why? Because at the time she was doing some sports, you know, reporting stuff, and
And Maria sits down next to me and goes, I understand that you went to the University of Idaho with Dan O'Brien, the Olympic decathlete. And we came in together as freshmen. She goes, I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit. I'm going to do an interview with him. And it was, I think it was at the time, the Dan and Dave thing, you know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's huge.
So I'm like, well, sure. I'll sit down here with you. So she's asking me some questions and I'm giving her whatever information she needs. And she's just, she couldn't be more pleasant. And finally, at the end of it, I go, hey, listen, you think you'd do me a favor? She goes, sure. What? And I go, like, I don't want an autograph or anything. I just want to meet your husband. I don't need a picture. I don't need anything. I just want to meet your husband. I'm a big Arnold fan, you know what I mean? And she's like, oh, yeah, come with me. So now we're arm in arm cruising through. Like, I got total street cred, right? We're cruising through this party. Excuse me. I'm with Maria Shriver. I'm going to go meet Arnold. And you could see him see us from, you know, across the room. And, you know, you could tell he's uncomfortable, right? So we get right next to Arnold, and he stands there. And Maria goes, honey, let me introduce you to Mark Schlereth. He plays for the Washington Redskins. You know, and he gives the whole spiel. And so I go shake his hand. I shake his hand, and I said, hey, listen, Arnold, big fan. Love your movies. Just a big fan. I just want to introduce myself. And so Arnold is shaking my hand. Now, Arnold's maybe 5'11". And at the time, and this is 30 years ago or whatever, like he's probably 215. Like he is ripped. He's a little guy. I mean, he's ripped though, right?
But he's a little guy.
He's a little guy.
Right.
And here I am at 6'3". This is before I lost all the discs in my back. I'm a solid 6'3". And it's off season. I'm 295 and I'm pretty freaking yoked, right? And so we're shaking hands. And he goes, and this is like exactly what he said. He goes, pleasure to meet you, Mark. He goes, look at these shoulders. So he's shaking my hand and he's got his hand up on my shoulders. Look at that. He goes, look at these shoulders. He's a monster. And as soon as he said monster, he just took off through the crowd. And so it gets to the point where Arnold is never going to be photographed by somebody who dwarfs him.
Right.
Because he had this, especially then, this larger than life image.
Yes.
And can you imagine him taking a picture with me and everybody going, oh my God, Arnold's tiny.
Right.
Yeah.
So he would go to great lengths to avoid being with.
Right. So I I've told you this before. We were up at the.
Oh, hold on a second. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.